So this week we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Milah, which is found in this week's parasha, Parashas Lech Lecha. And I know that you both got a certain perspective on some of the aspects of Milah Sunday morning from Rabbi Grossman. This is going to be a little bit of a different focus as we're focusing here on Taimei HaMitzvos, the reasons behind mitzvos, trying to develop an understanding of how do we understand the mitzvah of Milah? What are we trying to do? What's the point of it? Maybe why is it such an important mitzvah? So the mitzvah, first of all, appears in two places in the Torah. It first appears in this week's parasha, where Avram is commanded to perform a milah on himself. And then it's repeated again in Parshas Tazria, where it's talking about the birth of a baby, and it says there that Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Arlaso, on the eighth day, you should give him a bris milah. What are the timim that are suggested, or the reasons suggested for this mitzvah? So, starting point, as usual, although we haven't done this too much, is I think it will become the norm, is that we'll start with the Sefer HaChinuch and work forward from there. The Rambam, Gemara Nevochim, also usually gives, for most mitzvahs, gives reasons, so we'll touch on that today. So the Sefer HaChinuch basically gives three or two and a half reasons for the mitzvah of Milah. He writes as follows. V'fisherotza Hashem yisbarach likvoa ba'om asher hivdil. Hashem wanted to establish upon the nation that he separated, lios nikra al shemo, to be called by his name, os kavua b'gufam. He wanted to establish a set oath sign on their body, lahavdilam mishar ha'amim, in order to separate them, to distinguish them from all the other nations, bitzuras gufam, in the makeup of their physical makeup of their bodies, kemo she'muvdal mehem bitzuras nafshosam, just as we are different in the makeup of our nefesh, our neshama. Works differently, and just as our neshama is different, so too our bodies are different. So that's basically, I would say, the first reason that he gives for Milah is just to distinguish us from the Gentiles, from the non-Jews.
Yeah. You don't know, you look around the room, you have no way of knowing.
It's true, that's a good point. Yeah.
It seems like if Hashem wanted to give us a marked distinction from the Goyim, you think he wanted to be someplace
more in the open, right? Right. Right. Interesting. Yeah. So he does go on to say why the Milah is found where it is, and he says, because, and we'll have to figure out how this connects, but he says, because that's the sibo l'kiyum hamin, that's the reproductive organ, so that's where we separate ourselves already, we're a different breed, let's say, we're different in both neshama and guf, soul and body.
Just as we want to bring a touch of Kedusha into the mundane during the week, like a touch of Shabbos into the rest of the week, I suppose that's the ultimate example, because the Goyim, we think, they let that drive them, that particular organ drive them, and what we're doing by the bris is we're infusing even that aspect with Kedusha.
Good. So yes, that's combining a number of different ideas, I think. That's very good. So, but, right, so for starters, so far we have the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that it's a distinguishing mark. I think some Rishonim learn that it's like a branding as a servant. So we're not going to focus on that, but the Svarno I saw quoted, and the Bechor Shar, another Rishon, one of the Balei HaTosfos, both understand that it's like a slave is branded. So this is our branding, and that would be more related, not necessarily just to distinguish us from the Gentiles, but to, you know, brand us as the slaves, the servants of Hashem. But that's really a, you know, aside. The Sefer HaChinuch goes on and gives his second reason, and he says milvad, besides for, so I give you my first reason, besides for this other reason, which is sheyesh bo tashlum tzuras haguf, that the mila is a perfection of the tzura, of the makeup of the physical makeup of the body. So, and that's Kemosha Amarnu, as he had mentioned, he briefly mentioned it in the previous paragraph, and he repeats it now, that the mila is the perfection of the person. So that's reason number two. It sounds like it's a physical improvement, but right, it's a good, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, he describes it as physical, in Tzuras HaGuf. Obviously, right, there's a spiritual aspect to it.
But by cutting something off, that's
you're removing it, right. So that's part of the, that's a major part of the discussion is, right, you know, we'll get to that. Good. So then he goes on, and he gives one more reason. This was the second and a half. This was the half reason, which is that he says the chosen nation, Hashem wanted them to be perfected. And then he says, V'ratzo lios ha'shlam al yedei ha'adam. And he specifically wanted that perfection to be done by man himself. He wanted us to finish off the job. He created us slightly imperfect, and the mila is the hashlama, is the completion of the person, he says. He did not create man complete from the womb. Lirmos Elov. He says a beautiful idea. It's to hint to us by requiring us to physically perfect ourselves. It's to hint us, ki kasher tashlum tzuras gufo al yado, just as it's our responsibility to perfect our bodies, king biyado, and it's in our hands, king biyado lehashlum tzuras nafsho behechsher pulosov. So too, it's in our hands to perfect our neshama through our actions. So beautiful idea, Sefer HaChinuch says, that the mila is the perfection of the person, and Hashem left it up to us in order that we should learn a lesson that just as we are instructed to perfect our physical makeup, so it's also our job to perfect our spiritual makeup to perfect our neshama. So two main reasons that he focuses on. One is that we are distinguishing ourselves from the nations, and the second is that we are you know, perfecting our bodies. So the Beis Halevi, in discussing Mila, kind of touches on these two ideas, and this is at the beginning of this week's parsha, and he says that there seem to be two perspectives in the Rishonim about what Mila is for. On the one hand, some learn that we are removing something that's negative. There's something added onto our body. The arla, the foreskin, is extra, and we are instructed to remove it. It's a mum, it's a blemish. And we are removing it. And there are others who learn that we're actually, the Mila is adding Kedusha. The circumcision is adding holiness to ourselves when we perform the Mila. So he says, which one is it? Right? It's a machokas rishonim, he says. It's a dispute. Is the Mila just removing a blemish that's there? And by removing it, it's perfecting us? Or is it actually adding Kedusha? Is it adding holiness to us? And he says the truth is that it's doing both. And he says he brings it from the Akedah. The Akedah brought different proofs to this. And the Akedah, he quotes, uses this to explain the instruction given to Avram here. Hashem says to Avram, Ani kel shakai, I am God, hisalech lefanai veyesamim. Walk before me and be tamim, be pure, be perfect. Va'etna brisi b'ni u'v'necha, and I will place my covenant between me and you. Va'arba uscha b'mod me'od, and I will make you great, a great nation. So the Akedah says that there's two instructions here, or there's two points that Hashem is making to him. First of all, heye tamim, be tamim, be pure, unblemished. And secondly, va'etna brisi b'nei v'neichem, secondly, I'm going to make a covenant between me and you. And the Akedah says that tamim means without a blemish, right? An animal for a carbon, for a sacrifice, has to be tamim, has to be pure, which really just means unblemished. So the command, when Hashem says, heye tamim, be tamim, be, he's really saying be unblemished, which means to do the bris to remove the blemish, the arla, the foreskin. And then Hashem says in the next pasuk, va'etna brisi b'ni u'v'neichem, and I will place my covenant between me and you, that this is also going to be a covenant between us. This I'm not just, you're not just, you know, removing something that's a blemish to you, but this is going to create a closer connection for us. This is going to add kedusha, add holiness to you, and we'll make a covenant over this. And that's the aspect. So there's a second aspect of Mila, which is adding kedusha to the person, adding holiness to the person. So the Beis HaLevi suggests that perhaps these two parts of the Mila are actually two parts of the actual Mila act of Bris Mila, because really there are two parts to a Mila. There's what we call the chituch, and there's the priya. The chituch is the, without, you know, getting into too much detail, but there's a foreskin. The foreskin is cut off, and then below that is a thin membrane, which is also removed. So the chituch is, he says, that's the removing of the actual arla of the foreskin. That's the first step. That's removing the blemish. Once the arla is removed, the person can be considered tamim. The person can be considered perfected in terms of he's unblemished. But he hasn't yet added the kedusha. He hasn't made the covenant yet. He only makes the covenant, adds the kedusha, with the second part of mila, which is the priya, which is the peeling away of the thin membrane that lies below the foreskin. And that's what adds the kedusha. And he says, that's what we say in the bracha of Bris Mila. We say, v'tzet sav chasam be'os bris kodesh. His offspring, he chasam, which means to seal, like when you seal a document, like and when you seal a bracha, we call it the chasima. That's the end. When you're chosem, right, we know it from, also from Yom Kippur, right? Right. So we start, right? Gmar chasima tova, or the chasmenu, we say in Ila, that we should be sealed. That's the last thing is the sealing. So when we say that he was chasam, the os bris kodesh, he sealed us with a bris, a holy bris. a holy covenant. So what's the chasima? That's the last step of milah, which is the priya, which is the peeling back of this membrane. So the second part of the milah, that is the adding of kedusha. The first part is the removal of the blemish, and the second part is the priya, is the adding of kedusha. And the Beis Halevi makes a very interesting point based on this. He says, now going back to the Akedah, who divided up the two parts of the Pasuk, and said that the Akedah had said that Hisalech lefanai ve'ayei samim, go before me and be unblemished, was going on the... That shows you that there's the part of the Milah is to remove the blemish. But then, v'edna brisi b'ni v'neichem, I'll place my covenant between me and you. So that part of that command to, or that statement from Hashem to Avram, that was saying, and we're going to actually add Kedusha with this Milah. And the Beis HaLevi saying that those are the two parts of Milah. So he says that if you look at the tense, the verb tense of these two psukim, so the Hisalech lefanei ve'yesamim is a command in the present. Go before me and be unblemished. The etna brisi is future tense, and I will in the future place a covenant between you and I. Says the Beis HaLevi that there is an opinion in the Gemara that Avram Avinu was not commanded to do the second part of Milah. He wasn't commanded to do Priya. He was only commanded to do the Chituch, the removal of the regular foreskin, but not the lower membrane. And therefore, based on what he's saying, that means Avram was only commanded to remove the blemish, but he was not commanded to do the Priya, to make the covenant. That's going to be in the future when the Jewish people receive the Torah. So then, at that point, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, when they're commanded to do Milah, so then I'm going to add on, then Etna Brisi B'Nivenechem, at that point I'm going to make the covenant and add the Kedusha. But at present, Avram, according to this opinion, at least in the Gemara, that Avram wasn't commanded to do Priya, so then he was only given the part of Hisalech Lefanei Ve'yesamim, go before me, you'll be unblemished, and in the future, Etna, I will later in the future place my covenant between me and you, me and your offspring, when I give them the second part of Milah, which is Priya.
Now, there's a view that says that the Avos performed the Torah. They kept the Torah even before the Mishnah Torah. Before the beginning, they intuitively knew.
Right.
So would you say that Avos maybe intuitively did in fact do Priya, even though he wasn't commanded?
So, very good. So, if we have time, first of all, we're going to get to, at the end, if there's time left over, we will address the general question of if Avram kept the Torah, so why didn't he do Milah before he was, why did it take him so long to do Milah? I thought he kept the whole Torah. That's a question that's, you know, many commentaries discuss. But in terms of your point, so that's a very important point, and okay, interesting. So there are, I don't know if it's within this opinion, but I think so, that there is a opinion that, right, even though they weren't commanded to do Priya, they still did. So, yeah.
This whole discussion has been about what exactly was done to the baby. But it's not a question of who did it. In other words, right now there are a lot of women, Jewish women, who have their kids circumcised in the hospital. Is that considered a...
So you have to know what they're doing in the hospital circumcisions. I'm not sure. You know, first of all, you need to have a Jewish model. That's, you know,
so basically the scratch and so forth have been just the results of it, not who did it.
Right.
Why did they know Brooke Hunter?
Right. So yeah. So we're not really, our focus isn't even on the results of it. It happens to be this ties in to understanding the nature of Mila, that there's these two aspects. So I was just bringing in, you know, a little bit of, generally, I'm going to steer clear of halacha mostly. But here, it's intrinsic. The halacha and the two aspects of the Beis Halevi saying are the two aspects of Mila, of in terms of the taimei mitzvos, of removing something that's a blemish and adding kedusha at the same time. Now, so this really fits very well with that which the Sefer HaChinuch spoke about, how it's the perfection of the body, it's removing a blemish, it's adding kedusha, that's truly the perfection. Now, coming back to the part about that it separates us from the Gentiles, so that the Beis Halevi has a very interesting piece. He really has a very long piece at the beginning of Parsha Shmos, but he kind of summarizes it quickly over here. And he explains, he's coming to explain a number of Midrashim, but he says that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they knew, right, after Yosef died, so they knew that there's going to be a shibud, they knew that they're going to be enslaved, they knew this was coming. They knew about the bris thing on Besarim, the covenant that was made, that Hashem made with Avram, that his children are going to be slaves, and they got nervous, right? Naturally, they know this is coming, and they were afraid. So they tried, what are we going to do to at least, you know, try to limit the degree to which we're enslaved, to which they, at least, you know, we could try to endear ourselves to the Egyptians. And the solution they came up with was to try to limit the physical difference between them and the Mitzrayim. And again, he's coming to explain different midrashim that imply this. I'm just going to give the outside, you know, discussion. But in order to, you know, they figured if we're more similar physically, then the Mitzrayim will accept us more, and they will be nicer to us, and maybe the enslavement won't be so bad. And what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew physically, besides for the noses? So it's the Mila. So besides for our noses, so it's the Mila. So their solution was that they wouldn't go so far as to not perform Mila, that they were commanded to do, but at least they'll limit the distinction by not doing Kriya and the second part of Mila. And that, again, like we said, you know, Avram wasn't necessarily commanded to do. They didn't necessarily have a command. They were doing it with Nim Mishura Sadin, like you were saying. They were practicing it above the law, that they were just trying to, you know, even though they didn't have to do it, they were doing it anyways. But they felt that for this, you know, if it's going to help us be more similar to the Egyptians and control the how bad the enslavement is going to be, so we should at least skip the Priya and make ourselves a little bit more similar to the Egyptians, and that's why they didn't do the Priya. And so this really, you know, speaks to what the Sefer HaChinuch was saying, that this is something that distinguishes us, the Mila, the Priya, the whole thing distinguishes us. And in the larger piece, the Beis Halevi basically says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be a distinction between us and the Gentiles. Right? That's why we have this mitzvah. There's supposed to be a distinction. And the more that we try to make ourselves similar to them, so then Hashem has to step in and widen the gap. And he says that's what happened in Mitzrayim, that we tried to make ourselves more similar to them. So Hashem says, I'm going to make the distinction even more clear. And as a punishment for that, you know, the shibud, the enslavement, was even worse because of that. To really separate, you're trying to make yourself similar, then I have to be the one to separate. If you don't separate yourselves, then I'm going to be the one to separate you. So that's this aspect that the Sefer HaChinuch is referencing, that it's also that the Mila serves to distinguish us from the Gentiles. Now, going back to the third reason, the third thing he mentioned, what I call the half reason, which was that Again, the milah is to perfect us, and Hashem wants us to perfect ourselves, because that way, if we physically perfect ourselves, then we will be reminded that it's also within our hands to perfect our souls, perfect ourselves spiritually. So this question of why we aren't born already with a milah, if that's how it's supposed to be, was actually asked by the, I think he was a Roman, Tornus Rufus. So the Medrash recounts that Tornus Rufus asked the Chachamim, he asked Rabbi Akiva, he said, whose handiwork is better, man's or God's? Whose handiwork is better? So
everybody agrees to that.
So Rabbi Akiva responded, man's handiwork is better. So he said, have you seen the heavens and the earth? You know, can a person replicate something as amazing as that? So Rabbi Akiva said, don't talk to me about something that's, you know, above our abilities, that we don't have the ability to control. Talk to me about something that's relevant to us. And now let's talk about that. So he said, why, so Terence Rufus said, why do you get milah? Why are you circumcised? So Rabbi Akiva said, I knew that's what you were getting at. I knew you were asking me about that. And that's why I answered you when you asked me whose handiwork is better, I said man's. Because I knew you were getting to that. Obviously, he's saying Hashem's handiwork is better, but when it comes to this, this is how it's supposed to be. That we are supposed to perform a milah, even though it's, you know, messing with the way that God created us. So Rabbi Akiva pulled out some stalks of wheat and beautiful pastries. And he said, and like, that was his way of showing, like, look, this is what God made, and this is what we took and made out of it. So obviously we're supposed to, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take, you know, there are some times where God makes something that's not complete or perfecting. He wants us to make something of it. So he said, so Terence Rufus said, if Hashem wants milah, so why doesn't he have a person born with milah? Why didn't he design us that way? So Rabbi Akiva said, why is the belly button of a baby still attached to the mother when he's born? And then she cuts it. Meaning, you know, not everything, you know, is created exactly how it's supposed to be. Obviously, we're supposed to cut that, right? you know, he was born that way. Maybe we should just leave him that way. Obviously, we're supposed to cut the umbilical cord. So then he says, and that which you're saying, why aren't we born mahol? Why aren't we born already circumcised? So he says, a person gave us the mitzvahs to refine. Hashem gave us the mitzvahs only to refine ourselves, and that's what we're doing. And you know, that could be what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, that the mitzvahs are to teach us something. They're to refine ourselves, refine our character. And there's a lesson here that we can perfect ourselves, and just as Hashem wants us to perfect ourselves physically, we also have to realize that it's in our hands to perfect ourselves spiritually. The Beis HaLevi, later in the Parsha, has a beautiful piece on this related to this, and he says that the Pasuk describes Hashem comes to Avram, he says, Ani Kel Shakai. He uses that name of Shin Dalad Yud. And then he says, you know, go before me and be tamim, be pure, be perfect. So why does he use that name of Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, when giving this command? It's not the typical name of that Hashem uses. Maybe with the Avos he used it more. So the Medrash gives a number of reasons. And so there's a Medrash that understands that name Shin and then Dai refers to Hashem who said to his world Dai, Hashem, who said to the world, "Die," which means enough. That's what that name represents. So he says you could explain that in two ways. When we describe Hashem as the one who said to the world, "Die, enough. You know, you're created, you're done." So you can understand that in two ways. One is in quantity, and one is in quality. That the world was getting bigger. Hashem was creating it bigger and bigger, adding more things. And then Hashem said, "Die, enough, you're finished, the world is complete." That's Hashem, that's the name of God, the one who said, "Die," the one who said to the world, "Enough." But it can also go on the quality, in that he says, for example, when it comes to this, back to the gustos, the pastries, right? So you have seeds, you plant them, and then, it, you know, on its own, as part of the nature of the world that Hashem put in, you know, whatever the exact order is, straw, and then some form stalks and heads, wheat, the and kernels, and it all grows on its own. But then it comes to a point where it could keep growing, and you know, a loaf of bread could grow out of that you know, wheat stalk, but it doesn't. That's not how it works. So Hashem said, "Die," in the quality, meaning in the, this isn't about, you know, adding more things to the world. This is at some point, the world, the quality that the world produces on its own stops, and the rest is up to us to, you know, to perfect. So, the tikkun, the final step, has to be on by the action of man. This is going to be, he says, until the Asid Lavo, until I guess the days of Mashiach, where it says, Chazal say, Asida Eretz Yisrael Shetotzi Guskos Uklei Milas, that in the future, the Eretz Yisrael is going to grow pastries. And Uklei Milas, I think, is silk, it's some material. But it's going to grow the actual material, it's going to grow the pastries on its own. But until then, it's our job to finish the job. And he says, it's the same thing with Mila. That's why we use the name of Sheh Dai, the name that says, the one who said it's enough, that Hashem, that's the name of Hashem that represents, I'm not only saying the world has done, I've, you know, stop to the world about increasing in quantity, but I'm also saying stop in terms of increasing in quality. And meaning the same thing is true with a person. He references this medrash. Hashem said, I'm going to make you without the milah. I'm not going to make you perfect, and it's up to you to finish the job. I said die, I said enough, and it's up to you to finish the job to perfect yourself.
Is there any reason there's nothing comparable for a woman?
It's a very good question. Yeah, so, I mean, you have to say something like that. I don't know. I didn't see anything about it. I did, when I first saw this Beis HaLevi, I wanted to suggest that maybe that's the pshat, that's the interpretation of the bracha that a woman says in brachos that we don't say, which is she'asani kiritzono, that he made us, you know, as he willed. So I think some, you know, women see that as a slight, like this is as he wanted us, like, you know, but we're like second best, you know. But I don't know, maybe they don't see it that way. But I think that based on this, you could say a very beautiful shot, which is that they're saying, we're already kiritzono. We don't need, you know, we're already perfect. So that's what I thought. And again, it might have to do with the nature of a woman in terms of what she needs in terms of, you know, her own neshama and her desires, and she might not need that. But a man needs to make that. We need to make that step on a man of perfecting him physically. You know, it may be a weakness in man that we need that. But
so how do you know if the state is, if the ideal state is that Hashem does not create man circumcised because Hashem wants us to perfect ourselves through our actions? How do you reconcile that with the Midrash that Moshe was born circumcised?
Good question. So I don't know. Off the cuff, I would say maybe that once we understand that is the way that a person is perfected, then let's just say like this, that maybe Moshe didn't need to do that. He could be born with it and still be. Right, meaning somebody, a regular person, needs to perfect himself in order to perfect his, to learn to perfect his neshama. But maybe someone on that madriga, on that level, didn't need that, perhaps. Okay, so that basically covers the Sefer HaChinuch, I think. We discussed that the Mila distinguishes us from the non-Jews, and we discussed that it's the perfection of man and maybe the removal of a blemish at the same time. It removes a blemish, and then we add Kedusha. Those might be the two aspects of Mila. And then we discussed how a person has to perfect themselves in order to learn to perfect their neshama. The Rambam has two other reasons that he gives. He doesn't give those reasons. He gives two different reasons than that. The first, something I think that was referenced earlier, is that this organ, you know, is, as we mentioned, the organ of taiva, of desire, and the Rambam says that scientifically, a person's desire is greater if he has an arla than a foreskin, than if he removes it. And this mitzvah perfects our midos, perfects us, because it takes away some of that desire, some of that taiva. And he says, you know, it's done in a way that it doesn't damage the person in any way in terms of their ability to reproduce. All it does is it takes away some of the desire that a person has, and perhaps some of the hana, some of the pleasure, but that's the purpose. Now, and he says this is the main reason for Mila. Chassam Sofer takes this, he doesn't quote the Rambam, but based on this, I don't think he quotes the Rambam, but he goes with the same idea in a drasha, and he said that it's interesting because animals don't have an arla, they don't have a foreskin. And so this, in a way, when we're born with it, distinguishes us from animals. And normally that's, looked at as like, we have to realize we're people, we're humans, we're B'Tzalim Elokim, we're different than animals. And here we have a mitzvah that's telling us to make ourselves more similar to an animal. And that stands out. Why is that? But he says that really, though, there's a tremendous musr in this mitzvah, in removing the arla. Because going with this Rambam, that, this is sort of something extra, it's something that can bring a person more pleasure if they have it. But he says, if a person looks around, so he'll see thousands and thousands of people living with less than he has. And he realizes that he should, right? That I don't necessarily need everything that I have. Look, I don't need such a big house. I don't need such expensive clothing. I don't need the best food. Because, look, there's so many people surviving without it. And it's a musr. And we're supposed to try to do with less. And not give in to every need and desire. So he says that's the same thing with Mila, that we have this extra, this extra skin that brings more pleasure, maybe. But when we look around and we see, all the animals, and they get by without it, and so we say, I don't need it either. I could be okay without it. And it's a musar lesson, really, for all musars, for all extras. All the extras in life that we could do without, we can learn from here to go without them. That's the first reason the Rambam gives. The second reason is that Really, it's ma'achid us. It brings us together. That when we all are marked this way, he says, people. Right, you mentioned that people do circumcision sometimes in the hospital or whatever, but the Rambam says that a person won't do mila unless they have emuna, because why would they do that? And so only people with emuna, with belief in God, are going to do this, and it's something that brings people together when we're all similar, which is sort of the other side of the story of that it distinguishes us from the non-Jews. It also brings us together as a people, that we are all we all have the same physical makeup. So that's another reason. So basically, we had five primary reasons. I think the Rambam. The Rambam. So we had the Sefer HaChinuch that it distinguishes us from the non-Jews, and it perfects us, and it takes away the blemish, is the other side of that, and that we do it ourselves because it teaches us that we can also perfect our neshama. Then we had the Rambam, that it takes away desire, and there's a musr in that Chassam Sofer said, that we don't need all the extras in life, and it also brings us together. Now, I mentioned that I would come back to the question, sort of, you know, moving away now from the reasons of Mila, but just since we discussed last week why, actually, there's one more thing. Okay, we'll leave that. We'll do it another time. Next year, we'll leave the last reason. We talked last week that the Avos kept the Torah, Avram kept the Torah, so many Mefarshim are bothered, why didn't Avram perform Mila before he was commanded if he kept the whole Torah? So there are some who say that actually, that which we say that Avram kept the Torah, we mean from his Mila and onwards he kept the Torah. But before he had his Mila, he didn't actually keep the Torah. It was only from then and on that he started keeping the Torah. That's one, you know, easy answer. It may run into issues elsewhere, but that's one answer. Another simple answer, the Mizrahi, one of the commentators on Rashi, gives, is that we need to have a concept that Gadol HaMitzvah Ve'Osa Misha'en HaMitzvah Ve'Osa, that greater is a person who's commanded to a mitzvah who performs the mitzvah than one who's not commanded. The impact of, if you're doing something because, you know, Hashem likes it, it's a good thing, so that has a certain impact on the world. But when Hashem actually commands you to do it and then you do it, that's a much greater impact. So for many mitzvos, you can do them, and then you could be later, if Avram was commanded to do them, then he'll do them again. But Mila, you only get one shot at it. So for him to do Mila before he was commanded, would it make him unable to do it once he was commanded? And since it would be a greater mitzvah to do it after he was commanded, so therefore he didn't do it earlier than that, he didn't do it before he was commanded. So one time, you get one shot at it, hopefully. So that's why he waited for the command. That's what the Mizrahi says. Based on what we talked about last week, the Nefesh HaChaim says, in one of his other Svarim, it's not a Nefesh HaChaim, but he says in a different Sefer, that, right, we talked about how the way that the Avos kept the Torah, the way they knew how to keep it, was because they could intuit what, you know, they could feel the spiritual impact of their actions, and they knew that the mitzvos had a positive action on the olamos, on the spiritual realms, and the world itself, and they knew that averus had a negative impact. And that's why Yaakov knew that he could marry two sisters, because he understood that was what was supposed to be, and that would have a positive impact. So he says that, you could say very simply, for Avram recognized that Mila, for whatever reason in particular, wouldn't have a positive impact until this point when he was commanded. The reason why he didn't perform Mila earlier was very simply because he intuited that he wasn't supposed to, and that it wouldn't have that positive impact on the Olamos like other mitzvahs. Why not that, you know, we can't, it's not for us to work out. But that's that. But he knew, and therefore he didn't, that's why he didn't perform the Mila before.
Um,
You should never be chayav because
one more possible answer is that there is a prohibition against damaging ourselves and drawing blood from ourselves, hurting ourselves. So, and that was true even for B'nai Noach, even for Gentiles, that applies. So, you're not allowed to be chovel atzmo. A person can't hit themselves, draw blood. And therefore, so Avram was faced with the Isser, which applies even to B'nai Noach, to not be chovel, to not damage himself. So here he had a mitzvah that will come in to apply later for him once he, once he gets the commandment. But he doesn't have a commandment now. But he does have a commandment of Aches damchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh. Like Hashem says, you're not allowed to draw blood from it. You can't hurt yourselves. And therefore, he wasn't able. Before he had a tzivoy, before he had a command to perform milah, he couldn't transgress this negative commandment that applies even to B'nai Noach, even to the Gentile, someone who doesn't have mitzvos, has this negative commandment not to damage themselves, and that's why perhaps he didn't perform milah before.
I thought he had the Torah, though, didn't he?
So he had the Torah, but he wasn't commanding in the Torah.
But it's not a commandment?